Our reading today is from Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Don't you love those passages of scripture that end saying, "And they will be sent away to eternal punishment"? I mean, that's the good news. Makes you wonder what the bad news sounds like, doesn't it? I've picked that parable, that story, specifically for this day. We're celebrating missions at St. Luke's today. I also picked it as a way of preparing us for our series that officially starts next week on the parables of Jesus. This story is the last parable in the Gospel of Matthew. When I read this parable, I remember my Old Testament class in college and the professor, Dr. Horace Manus. In college, where I went to school, Small Methodist College, every student had to take at least one course in religion. Back in the day, that's what we had to do. Everybody had to take a religion class, which you can imagine how popular that was with the student body. The only thing that kept students from totally revolting about this whole thing is that one of the classes that fulfilled the requirement was Old Testament with Dr. Horace Manus. You see, at the end of the semester, the last class before the final exam, Dr. Manus would give you all the questions that were going to be on the test. And not only give you the questions, he would also give you the answers. Students called this a crip class. Any of you remember that expression from college days? Yeah, it's an easy class. Now, because of that fact, you can imagine that no one ever went to class. No one went to class. I'd go to class some mornings, I'd be the only one there. But on the last day of the semester, the room was packed. Because you would know, I'm going to get all of the questions and the answers. Why go before that? I think that's the reason I've had a recurring nightmare in my life. Any of you have these recurring dreams from your school days? My dream goes like this. I wake up on exam morning and I realize I was supposed to be in a course all semester and I forgot. and I run to the final exam, and I get the exam in front of me, and I realize I don't know anything on this exam, and I start to panic, and then I wake up, and every time I dream that dream, it's Sunday morning. I don't know what the connection is there. Haven't quite figured out that dream, but that's my dream. Maybe you have a recurring dream like that. The difference with Dr. Manus is he would, on that last class, for 1 hour say, now this question might be on the final exam. And he'd tell you the question and give you the answer. And this question might be on the final exam. But always, there would be one question in particular that would weigh heavier than any of the others for determining the final grade. And he would say, now students, this question might really be on the final exam. And we all knew what that meant. That was going to be the big one. I don't remember anything from that class, but I made an A in it. Did pretty well taking it. And I think of that class when I think of this parable. Jesus is like a professor preparing students for an exam. He says, there's going to be a final one day. And everybody on earth is going to have to take this exam. Everybody one day will stand before the professor and take this final. And then he gives everybody what the question on the final will be. But the way he gives the question is to tell a story. He pictures a professor with a classroom. And like any exam, there are those who pass and there are those who fail. And both groups are going to be equally surprised on that day, says Jesus. Because those who pass will be told that they are blessed. They're going to be called righteous because when they saw the professor sick, they took care of him. And when they saw him in prison, they went to visit him. When he was in need, they clothed him, on and on. They're going to be shocked. They're going to say, Professor, when did we ever see you in any of these conditions? And he'll say, because you did it to the least of these. Then he's going to turn to those who failed the exam. And he's going to say, the same applies. Because you didn't do it to the least of these. And they're going to be shocked. Now, I know we don't really like a Jesus who flunks people, do we? I mean, that's somehow not in keeping with the Jesus of the Gospels, a professor who flunks people. And the punishment for failure, it's like repeating your worst grade in school for the rest of eternity. That's, you know, what was your worst grade? Mine was the fifth. Hell for me would be repeating the fifth grade for all of eternity. Not pleasant to fail. We say, that's not the Jesus I know. That's not the Jesus I like. But I want to share a few truths about this parable, some very basic points in it that I find very helpful. And I believe we as a community might find helpful, especially as we think about missions. One of them is this, that the most important question that will evaluate our lives is, what did we do for the least of these? I like that question. To listen to many religious people, and particularly some Christians, they would say the big question is not going to be that. It's going to be something different. It's going to be about belief. Did you believe the right thing? Others would say, no, that's not what it's going to be. It's going to be, what position did you hold on this moral issue? That's what it's going to be. And then there are others who say, no, it won't be either of those. It's going to be about your personal behavior. Did you live a blameless life? I've talked to enough Christians and come away from conversations feeling miserable and questioning my own faith, because they would say it's going to be about your doctrine. It's going to be about your stand on issues. It's going to be about conduct. But then I read Jesus, and he doesn't ask that. He doesn't say the big question is going to be about doctrine or issues or personal behavior. He doesn't say those are unimportant. They might be on the exam, but the one Jesus says, this one will really be on the exam. What did you do for the least of these? I like that. I like that the great evaluator, the most important evaluator of life, is, did we care for others? Something else I like about this is that righteousness, according to this story, is not people who advance their own cause, but people who sought to advance the cause of others. I like that. The ones who are called righteous are not people who went through life making out of other people objects for their own personal piety. They didn't go around trying to do good things because it's going to earn them stars in their crown. They did lots of good things. They had no idea that they were passing the exam. They did it, why? Just because they cared about advancing the cause of other people. I like that about St. Luke's. I like being in a community like we have here that seeks to advance the cause of others. I'm going to invite a group to come up now, a group who have been very significant in mission activities this summer, and they're going to share a few words in just a moment about those activities. But as they come up, we're going to see a short video that celebrates a lot of the mission events in our church that have been taking place this year. Let's take a look. Those events have been taking place this year in 2013, and now you're going to hear from some people who've been a part of events happening just this summer.
Good morning, I'm John Nepsa. I was blessed to go to Haiti this year for 8 days. There we accomplished by starting and finishing a school for 200 kids. We finished a home for a family of six. More importantly, we provided love and caring for a bunch of foster children. On a personal note, every night I'd call my fiance and said, I can't wait to leave. I can't wait to go back.
Hi, my name is Carol Wendt, and from June 23rd to the 29th, I was one of 39 people, ranging in age from 8 and a half to 77, who was in Mission, South Dakota, volunteering at the Tree of Life Ministry on the Rosebud Indian Reservation. While there, we cooked meals for the homeless, we did construction projects in the community, and we were able to interact with the kids at the Boys and Girls Club. For me, it was one of the most heartfelt, heartbreaking, and heartwarming mission trips that I've been on, to be able to interact with the Lakota people, to observe them and their way of life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Rank, and I'm recently returned from an amazing and rewarding trip to Sierra Leone, Africa, where I was a part of Teachers to Teachers, which was an elementary teacher training program that was an outgrowth of the Sierra Leone Health Partners. We provided training to elementary teachers in language arts, in math and science, in library skills, in dictionary use. We established two class school libraries, and we were able to outfit teachers with calculators, dictionaries, and many school supplies. We are back about 3 weeks, and we're already planning the next trips. So if you're a retired teacher or if you're in the medical field, there's a medical trip soon, and we hope you'll find out about it.
I'm Al Dalton. I have the pleasure to serve with the disaster relief team, which is comprised of 36 volunteers. We have the capacity to feed, as we did the Richmond Hill residents. We can supply temporary roofs, as we have in Georgia, Peru, Indiana, and more Oklahoma. And through mission trips, we can help rebuild property after hurricanes, as we have in North Carolina, after storms, as we will in West Virginia, and after the tornadoes in Oklahoma.
I'm Alex Thomas, and I went with a group of teenagers and adult leaders to Benton Harbor, Michigan. And we were able to paint houses, two houses and a church, and able to participate with the Boys and Girls Club. And when you hear Benton Harbor, not everyone knows exactly where it is. So we didn't know why we were going there. And the love and support and just the thanks that we received from the community was tremendous.
Hi, I'm Sarah Fuque, and I was a member of the Peru team that traveled on the Ucayali River to serve in one of the surrounding Shipibo villages. Throughout the week, we built a church, played with the kids, and on the last day, we gave out shoes, clothes, and school supplies to all of the kids in the village. It was a really heartwarming and life-changing experience for all of us. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Katie Sinicki, and recently I was a part of the in-house mission trip, which is a mission trip solely focused on the surrounding communities in Indiana. While we were there, we served at Gleaners, Third Phase, Wheeler Mission, and Fletcher Place. Big thank you to our intern, Rick. He put so much hard work into planning this for us. And I think definitely my favorite memory was on Saturday morning, when the lodge and the congregation kind of joined forces for Servant Day. The sense of community in the Great Hall that morning was just a great place to be at.
My name is Emily Vriesman, and in the month of July, I had the pleasure of working with 10 other St. Luke's volunteers at the Creekwood Apartments. We tutored so many wonderful children from Fox Hill. I always looked forward to seeing their shining faces every day and helping them with their reading skills and writing and math, and helping them prepare for the year ahead.
I'm Norm Stewart. 13 years ago, we started a breakfast mission for the homeless and needy at Fletcher Place. And through your generosity, with your donations and the serving times that you have put into this effort, we have now served over 200,000 breakfasts. Thanks to all of you.
Hi, my name is Glenn Hunsucker. I'm the church bus driver. I transported the scholarship students to the Spring Hill camp. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Buffy Perkins, and I've helped with the back to school extravaganza. Please stop by and see all the school supplies that we're ready to give out this afternoon to the 1,000 students from Fox Hill, Greenbrier, Spring Mill, and Nora Elementary Schools. We're very excited and thank you for your generosity. We're also going to be giving haircuts, clothing, shoes, and gently used books to make sure these kids start the school year off right. So thanks again.
Good morning. My name's Stephanie Eckert, and for the past 5 years, I've worked with the Inclusion and Social Justice team in sponsoring Servant Day. We've collaborated, though, I must say, with probably at least 10 other ministries in St. Luke's to put the project together. As Pastor Rob said earlier, this year we had over 500 people involved in one way or other in putting together the Servant Day project, with at least 400 to 425 going out yesterday for a morning of service in 16 different area projects that then in turn, their schools and agencies that then in turn serve hundreds and thousands of other people. Thank you all for your participation.
massive amount of work these folks have done this summer. Now, the ones who've spoken, you guys may be seated. The next three people are going to tell us about what being a part of some of these projects meant to them and where that came from within themselves to serve.
Hi, my name is Rob Eads. I made the trip this summer to Rosebud in Mission, South Dakota, the Indian Reservation. A couple of things that stood out about this trip to me. One was what this experience brought out of the kids, not only my two boys who are 15 and 16, but all of the kids and young adults who were on this trip. It was amazing to see the sense of humility, maturity, a willingness and a desire to help other people. Something that I wish that I could bottle up and bring home and make it last throughout the year at home. So far haven't been successful in doing that, but was really amazing to see what these kids could do on this trip. The other was the opportunity to share our faith, not through verbally evangelizing to these people unfortunately, a lot of them just simply aren't in a place in their lives and their culture to be open to that right now. But just through our love and caring and our willingness to be there and to help them. One little boy that we got to know, nephew of a man's house that we were painting, got to spend some time getting to know him and later getting to know his father, who was an educated man, which is a minority in that very poor area. He's using his talents as a teacher there on the Indian Reservation. I don't know what his faith or what his religion is, but I know that he ended our conversation by telling us that we would all be in his prayers, which meant a lot to me. This was an amazing trip. I hope that you'll consider making this trip in the future. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Noah Ratty, one of the many great groups part of the youth ministry program is the Men's High School Small Group. For an hour and a half every Wednesday, we can forget about the stresses of work or school and talk with friends who share our same love for God. Yet we also learn through lesson and example how to better ourselves as Christians and how to spread our love to others every day, which is expressed in the others and I, not only in kindness and love, but having the attitude to give our lives to serve others in God's name. The friendships made and the service expressed is truly a testament to God's love expressed in us all.
Hi, my name is Sandy Surge. I've been a member here at St. Luke's for several years. I work at the local high school as lunch lady for the past 7 years. About a year ago, life in our house changed a little bit, and we became a one-income family with me and my youngest daughter in an apartment by ourselves. Money was pretty tight. Lunch ladies make barely above poverty level income. With all of our resources tapped out, we called the church one day and they reached out to us with a couple of gift certificates, one of which was $250, the largest gift certificate I had ever seen in my life. And we ate off of that gift certificate for many months. During the summer, the school does a summer servings program where they set up shop at some of the schools and some of the apartment complexes and around the areas of the school, and they feed anybody 18 and under for free breakfast and lunch. This year, we fed 50,000 people. This summer, Julie came to visit me at my venue with some registration forms for tonight's Back to School extravaganza. She dropped them off to me and told me she'd pick them back up in a couple of days. Now last month, I came into some unexpected money, and I decided to pay back everybody that had helped me last year when I was struggling. I paid back my brother $750, my mom $500, a friend $50, And when Julie came to pick up her registration forms, I gave her a check for $250. The last person to be paid back was the church, but it was the greatest payback of all. And I just wanted to thank the church for helping us through these rough times. We are truly grateful.
You know, out of the help we have received, says the Bible, so we are able to help. Such a beautiful story of that. And the difference that serving and helping other people makes in our own lives. And the last thing that this parable of Jesus says to me that I really like is to think about my life as an everyday missionary. That's what this story does to me. When you think about helping the least of these, that can happen all the time, anywhere, every day. You don't just have to go on a trip one time a year or participate in an occasional project. We start to see our lives as missionaries all the time. Nothing limiting us from everybody we come in contact with offering hope. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, Jesus is God's yes to humanity. When we serve, when we offer meals, backpacks, build buildings, paint walls, we are helping other people to know that they are God's yes, that they matter, that God loves them, God cares for them, and we need to know that too.